Actually, we are just starting the 18th chapter. We have only done 14 verses. 18th chapter will go on not only through the whole next year, but probably even a year and a half. So if anybody doesn't have, I would recommend you purchase. This is only $5, and this book will last you a year and a half. And you can follow the shlokas much better if you have it, and also the meaning, and then you can go home and read. So anybody who doesn't have, I would recommend you please get that. So the Bhagavad Gita is many things. It is the spiritual textbook of Hindus, equal to the Bible or the Quran. It is our main spiritual text and tells us about God and connects us to God and all that. But it is also much more than that. It is also a book of philosophy. It tells us the philosophy of life. Why am I here? What is the goal? What is the purpose? And how to think properly and how to direct our attention properly is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. It is also a book of action, of daily living. It's like the, you know, like when you buy a new TV or you buy a new phone or you buy a new VCR, you get this instruction manual, which most people don't read, but we should be reading it. So it's an instruction manual which tells us how to live our life, how to live, how to deal with people, how to deal with problems, how to deal with relationships. In fact, there is no problem that you can ever encounter, ever, that you will not find the solution in the Bhagavad Gita. For me personally, anytime, you know, we all have difficulties, we all have problems, small or big, but anytime you have any difficulty, the Bhagavad Gita will be your answer. And if once you have read it, your vision of life becomes very clear. What is true way of living, how I should live, how I should deal. And coming out of difficulties, coming out of problems is the... And there are a lot more things that are covered in the Bhagavad Gita. It also tells us the various paths of spiritual evolution. So a person who is active can do the path of karma yoga, the path of service. A person who is emotional, who has love, can transfer that love to God, you know, the path of bhakti. Or a person who is an intellectual, likes to read, study, okay, the path of knowledge. And then all three of them together lead to the path of meditation, dhyana yoga. So all these four paths are covered very beautifully in this Bhagavad Gita. It also analyzes human action. It is a very, very scientific book. It's not theoretical. It's not absolute. It's not abstract. There are no instructions. It is a science, the book of science. And what it does is it breaks up individuals. Of course, you know, we have different way of classifying individuals, you know, based on nationality, race, color, sex, you know, age and all those. But the Gita divides us into three broad groups. And they are the sattvic, rajasic and tamasic. The sattvic being the wise, the knowledgeable, the rajasic, the active, and tamasic being the lazy or the indolent. But not only that, but it says that all of us have all three. We have a little bit of sattva, we have a little bit of rajas, we have a little bit of tamas. And it depends which one is predominant, that will make you a sattvic, rajasic or a tamasic individual. And that also is described in detail. And how from tamas, which is the lowest laziness, one can go to activity, rajas, and then evolve to sattva or purity. So, I mean, this is, of course, a 5-minute summary of all the 17 chapters we have done, but there is a lot more. But as we do the chapters, we will discover the interesting thing about the Bhagavad Gita. I have found, and most teachers will tell you, or most students of Bhagavad Gita will tell you, that every time you read it, she talks to you differently. The same chapter, the same verse, actually the 15th verse I had done briefly last time when I ended. I had not gone into details. And what I saw, my notes are completely different from my notes today. And I was so amazed. I said, look at the same verse. she's talking to me in a different way. So repeated reading of the Bhagavad Gita makes your understanding much better. So that's why I recommend that everybody should have this commentary by Swami Chinmayananda, because whatever we speak is based on this and whatever we discuss. So it is worth, you can buy individual chapters or you can buy the entire, you know, all the 18 chapters at one time, because we are not going to end at the 18th chapter. After we do this 18th chapter, we will start again from chapter number 1. So the Bhagavad Gita I plan to study for at least another 10 years. That is if I'm alive. Otherwise, somebody else who comes. But we plan to continue to do the Bhagavad Gita here. So this will be a Gita class. So far in the 17 chapters, what has the Bhagavan, Lord Shri Krishna himself, who is the incarnation of God, is giving the message to Arjuna, the student. And the first chapter started with Arjuna's delusion. He did not know what is my goal, what is my duty, what is my purpose, why am I here? And so his delusion, confusion resulted in his paralysis. He was there to fight a particular war, which was the war of good versus evil. And the evil was standing in front of him, but he did not know what is my duty, because he was had misinterpreted what the situation was. And so the Lord starts his treatment, because he was psychologically deranged. He was like a psychic patient. And so just as a good psychiatrist, he starts his treatment very gently. Initially gently, and then becomes firm with him in the second chapter, you know, telling him that what he's doing is wrong. And the second chapter is an introduction where it tells us what Bhagavad Gita will teach from chapter 3 to 17. Just as a good public speaker, say he's talking about theory of relativity, you know, to an audience of physicists, he'll say, well, the theory of relativity was given by Einstein, and this, you know, he'll introduce the subject. And then he will speak about what is his new research on relativity, and at the end he will conclude, therefore, this is my conclusion. So similarly, the second chapter is an introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. Chapters 3 to 17 are the actual teachings, what we had just talked about briefly. And then the 18th chapter is a summary, where it is the entire Bhagavad Gita has been summarized by the Lord, by the teacher. Not only is a summary, but also Krishna feels that there are certain points which he has covered which need additional emphasis, little additional focus. So he has focused on specific points that he has covered in the Gita, and then also summarized the whole thing. The path of karma, the path of bhakti, the path of jnana, everything has been summarized very beautifully. So far we have done 14 verses, and I'll just in a couple of minutes summarize the 14 verses. So the first verse starts with a student's question. Arjuna asks, I want to know what is tyaga and what is sannyasa. Now, these two words are used interchangeably. You know, when you're talking, you say tyagi, sannyasi, we think are the same. But Sanskrit is a very precise language. You cannot use your own interpretations. It is a very, very scientific language. So Krishna says tyaga or abandonment is working without fruit. Working without karma phala tyaga, without what am I going to get out of it? You do your best, leave the result to God. And ultimately, if your actions are right, the result will be good. But while I am acting, I'm doing my best and not worrying about the result, because whatever comes is his prasad, it is his grace. And sannyasa is an evolved state. As I work unselfishly, dedicated my actions to the Lord without fruit, then slowly even the doership goes away. There is a total absence of doership. There is no desire. Even the desire to serve the world is not there. Such a person becomes an instrument of the Lord. The Lord is working through me. I do nothing. I am just a humble servant. I am an humble instrument. So even that doership is gone. Even the idea that I am a servant is gone. I am not doing anything. The Lord is doing everything. There's a complete absence of ego, complete absence of doership. That is sannyasa. That's what Krishna explains. And then he says that yajna, jnana and tapa, these three kinds of actions should not be given up. You know, people say, well, I want to go to the forest and meditate. That's good. But if you have that kind of detachment. But for the majority of us, how do we work? Do yajna, dana, and tapa. So tapa is austerity, that is for self-improvement. I have to make myself a better individual. I have to evolve. I have to become more spiritual, more, you know, self-control and all that. Then I do dana. Then I do charity. Having now made myself better, and that also not only includes physical, but mentally and even financially, I need to be strong myself so I can help the world. So then the next is tapa. I go out and tapa is the first one. Dana is second. That is charity. I go help a specific individual I know needs help, or a specific organization, or a specific, you know, group of people. Dana. And tapa is the highest. Yajna. Tapa is the for the body, for myself. Dana is charity. And yajna is activities done for all, where it is a community activity where people get together and work together for the benefit of all. So I first make myself better, then I do specific charity, dana, tapa and dana, and then yajna, where the whole community gets together and works for the betterment. So those activities, Krishna says, should not be given up because they purify the mind. They purify the mind, you know, they help to purify the mind, and that's why it is very important. So that is the, should not be given up. Then he says there are three kinds of tyaga, three kinds of sacrifice or abandonment. And we had studied that before in the summer, before we close for the summer. There is the tamasic tyaga, rajasic, and sattvic. Tyaga means giving up, abandonment. Now the highest, of course, is to give up the fruit of action, which we studied. But a lot of people think that giving up, they give up for the wrong reasons. So like tamasic tyaga, the lowest is giving up for the wrong reason. Like a person says, I want to give up my family. I want to give up. And why? I want to become, join a gang. Or I want to become a terrorist. And so he gives up his family. He gives up his wife, children. And there are people, we hear people in Europe, you know, who will give up their family, you know, young men and women born and brought up there, and they give up and they want to join ISIS, or they want to. So that is tamasic tyaga, where you give up your family, but for a wrong cause, you know, that for killing others or for looting others or joining a gang. Gang will say, you know, if you join us, you are our brother. You have nothing to do with your family. So that is tamasic tyaga. Rajasic tyaga, on the second level, is giving up because kaya klesha, it's too difficult. You know, like I promised on Saturday morning, you know, okay, this community organization, I'm going to come and help and do some work for you, or build a house, home for Habitat, you know, Habitat for Humanity, or some service I have promised. Then I get up on Saturday morning and I say, it's too early. You know, one day a week I get to sleep in. Why did I promise? I should have never said it. And so you give up not because you don't think the cause is good, but it's too difficult. I'm too tired now. It's not, or it's raining, or it's too hot, or it's too cold. You know, some reason or some excuse, that is called rajasic, and you don't get the benefit of that tyaga, because that is rajasic. The highest tyaga, Krishna says, is to give up not the action, but sangam tyatva phalanicha, give up the fruit and give up attachment. I didn't do it, the Lord did it, and everything is that. So that is the sattvic tyaga. You don't give up the work, you give up the phala and the sangam. You give up attachment and you give up the fruit. And then Sri Krishna talks about little more about action, because we are talking about karma. So he feels that in the karma, there are five factors that are there in every action. What are the five? We had studied that last year. Last year means in May. The seat, the doer, the senses, the functions, and the deity. So the seat of any action is the body. The body, right? I have to have the body to be able to act. Otherwise, I can't do anything. So the body is the seat. The doer is the ego, the perceiver, feeler, and thinker. The one that says, I am doing it. So the doer is the ego. And then for any action, I need the sense organs, right? if I have to say, if I have to drive from here to the northeast, I need to know the way, and I need to see the road. I need to be able to hear the traffic. So the sense organs are required for me to drive. And then the functions are the organs of action. Obviously, for driving, I need my hands, my feet, my eyes, my mind. So all those things are required. And then the fifth is the deity. Now, what is the deity? Deity is, even though it's used for God in many places, here when they use daivam or deity, what they mean is the power behind it. So like, what is the like, we have five organs, right? Sense organs: hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. So hearing happens in space, right? The sound travels through space. So the deity for hearing is space. What is the deity for seeing? Seeing is light. What is the deity for smell? Smell is earth. What is the deity for taste? Taste is the water. And what is the deity for seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting? Tasting is water, and touching is air. So air, space, fire, water, earth are the five deities. Air is for touching, space is for hearing, fire for seeing, and all that, you know, earth. And so daivam is the deity which presides over that, because these five mahabhutas are considered the essential elements from which the whole universe was created. So the whole universe was created out of space, air, fire, water, and earth. So these five deities are for each of the sense organs. So for any action done anywhere at any time, these five are required. So let us see how we study about these. Where are these five used? So that is used in verse number 15. Chapter 18, verse number 15. Sharirvang mano bhiryata. Karma prarabhate naraha. Nyayam va viparitam va. Panchaite tasya hetavaha. So sharir, vak, mana. So the first three. Sharir is the body, vak is speech, and mind is mana. So these three are the only ways I can act in the world. I can either act with my body, or with my speech, or with my mind. They say mind, yeah, mind is an activity too. Like if I'm angry at somebody, I can slap him. Or in this country, I can go get a gun and, you know, shoot 200 people because I'm angry. So that is action by the body. Or by speech, I can criticize somebody, I can call them names, I can insult them publicly. Or mentally, I can think bad about somebody. And they say even thinking negative about somebody is a negative karma, is a negative action. So I can either act with my body, it can be good or bad. That's what he says. Sharir vang mano bhityam karma prarabhate naraha. Naraha, this individual, whatever, yata, whatever karma the individual does, nyayam va viparitam va. Nyayam means good, means good action. Viparitam is not good. That means bad actions. Pancha ete tasya hetavaha. These five are the cause of any action. Whether it's action done by the body, action done by speech, action done by mind. It could be right or wrong action, good or bad. These five factors are involved in any action. So you say, well, how about thinking? You know, where are the five factors in thinking? So we say in thinking, first of all, the mind is the seat, right? So the mind is the seat. Who is the doer? Doer is the I that is thinking. And the senses are needed because the mind needs input from the senses. Like, I see a person coming and I don't like this guy. You know, he's not very honest. So that information is coming. And then, based on that, what I do, I start thinking negative about that person. This person, you know, I don't like him. I wish he wouldn't come. I wish I can leave, go away. So that is the action. Mind is thinking. And who is the deity of the mind? The moon. Moon is the deity of the mind. So what they are saying is, for any actions, you need five. Even the action of thinking requires these five. So that's what Krishna is telling us. Why is he analyzing action in so much detail? He will explain in the next verse. And actually, there are 24 factors in action. They say, how 24? So they say five sense organs, right? Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, five sense organs. Then the ability to see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. Like I can see, but then there is an optic center in my brain that gives me the ability to see. I can hear, but then there is an auditory center in my brain that gives me the ability to hear. Olfactory center in the brain gives me the ability to smell. So the sense organs and the ability to see, hear, smell, taste, and touch makes it 10. So 5 sense organs and 5 abilities. And then how about organs of action? There are 5. Hands, feet, speech, genital organs, and organs of excretion. So hands, feet, speech, reproductive organs, and organs of excretion. So there are 5. And the ability to speak, the ability to move the hand, the ability to move the leg, the ability to procreate, all those become the 5 abilities of the action. So there are 5 sense organs, 5 organs of action. From the other side, from the front here. Brought some children for Balvia. So the 5 sense organs and the ability to use the 5 sense organs, the 5 organs of action, the ability to use, so that makes 20. And what are 4? Other 4 are what is called as the antakarana, the inner equipment. See, these are all the outer equipment, the eyes, the ears, the skin, the tongue and all. But the inner equipment is mana, buddhi, chit, ahankar. Mana is the mind that thinks. Buddhi is the intellect. Then chit is memories. Memories, and ahankar is ego. So the inner equipment that directs everything happening outside is the mind, the intellect, the ego, and the memories. So from past memories, you know, I decide that this thing is good, this thing is not good. So based on that, so that makes 24. And the actions can be right or wrong. It doesn't matter. It might be a very spiritual action, very dharmic action, very beautiful action, very nice action. Or it could be a very evil action, very wrong action. It doesn't matter whether you're doing something good or doing something evil. These 24 are involved, and those 5 seats. So good or bad actions, right or wrong, they are performed by these 5. 5, they are the hetava, they are the cause. Pancha ete tasya hetava, they are the cause. So for any action, I need the seat, the body, the doer, the sense organs, the organs of action, and the presiding deity. Some speakers consider karma phala as the presiding deity. That means the result of action. So depending on the action, you get either a good result or a bad result. Whether you are successful or you are a failure. Whether you are happy or unhappy. Certain actions make us happy. Certain actions make us very unhappy. Certain actions make us stressed. So the result of every action is called the karma phala. And people wonder, you know, why, how come the good people suffer and the bad people are doing well? Like the Mahabharata is the typical example where there were the Pandavas, you know, the 5 brothers, Pandavas. And they had 100 cousins, the Kauravas. And the Pandavas were so good. And they were so nice. And they were with Krishna. And they always were honest. Always did the right thing. Always do good. And what happened? The whole Mahabharata, they suffered. You know, the good people who were with Krishna, they said, well, what was the use? They suffered. You know, they had to stay in the forest for so many years. And they were persecuted by their cousins. Their house was burnt. You know, they were put on fire. They had to stay in isolation. And then the 100 Kauravas who were evil, they were living in nice air-conditioned palace, living in comfort and enjoying all that. And the poor Pandavas were suffering. And they say, what was Krishna doing? You know, if God was there, why didn't he do something about it? So, which we'll talk about in the next verse, that what does God do? But Krishna says, I don't do anything. I just give you the result based on your... That's exactly what we are saying. They did all the good action and throughout life they suffered and at the end... But think about it. At the end of who was the victorious? You know, who was victorious? The Pandavas won because the Lord was with them. Even though they were smaller in number, even though they had less army, even though... But they ultimately triumphed. The good always triumphs over evil. Secondly, whom do we remember, you know, with love and affection and admiration? Do we remember Duryodhana or Dushasan or Shakuni, you know, all the evil? No, we don't even remember their names. But Yudhishthir and Bhim and Arjun and Nakul and Sahadev, we have so much respect for them because they lived a life of righteousness. We remember Buddha, we remember Jesus, we remember Shankaracharya, Swami Chinmayananda, Tukaram, Mirabai. The criminals, you know, they come and go. How many people remember them? And even if we do remember them, we remember them with loathing. Oh, they were horrible people, you know. These dictators like Stalin and Lenin and Saddam. How many people remember them? And if we do remember them, it is with disgust. The third point is that we look at success in a material way. Okay, the Pandavas were living in poverty. They were, in the end, only they won. And the Kauravas were living rich and successful. But material success is a very small part of life. The true success is inner success. Are you evolving? Are you becoming a better person? What matters is not your bottom line. At the end of the year, you know, you have a financial profit and loss statement. And my net worth was, you know, 500,000 and now has gone up to 700,000. That's not important. What is important is your spiritual worth. Has that increased? Have you become a better individual? Have you become more devoted to God? Have you doing more service? Are you sharing your love with the world? That is how you have to measure your, December 31st, in this year, have I become closer to God? Have I become a better individual? Am I serving more? Not only at December 31st, probably at the end of every month or at the end of every week, you should take a stock, you know, like when you do your stock in the how much profit and loss I have, how much, you know, stock I have in the go down, how much has gone out, how much has come in. So every week or every day you should do a stock that today did I do anything to make this world a better place? If I did, that's good. If I did not, so that is more important than how many dollars you have in the bank. So that's what they say, that is the all important thing. That is the most important thing. And that is what is responsible for every action. And whatever I do, good or bad, ultimately I get the result. And these factors are responsible. So we see that Sri Krishna has only talked about the engine. He has not talked about the gasoline. He has not talked about the petrol in the car. Like in a car, now we see that in a car, what happens? You know, the carburetor is firing and the spark plugs and then it sends the energy to the piston, and then the piston sends it to the crankshaft. You know, that lever, and then the crankshaft moves the axle, you know, the horizontal, and then that moves the wheels, and so the car turns. So the engine is everything from carburetor up to wheels. But what is the most important factor in the car is the gasoline, right? The petrol. If there is no petrol in the car, you may have a beautiful car, you know, latest model, you know, Rolls Royce or whatever, and best engine and best, you know, all the coverings and everything. But if I do not have petrol, the car will not move. But the petrol itself is not involved, and we'll talk in little more detail. The gasoline doesn't decide where I take my car, right? We have talked about that. If I take my car in the morning, I can go to the church or temple on a Sunday, or I can go to a bar, or I can go to some, you know, evil house of. So the choice is mine. The gasoline doesn't do anything, does not make a choice for me. Gasoline just gives me the ability to move. And so similarly, the Lord, that is the Om, the consciousness within, does not decide for me whether I do good or bad, right or wrong. It only gives me the ability. That's why in Sanskrit, in the Sankhya philosophy, they have Purusha and Prakriti. Prakriti is all this, the vasanas, you know, the body with which I perceive the objects, the mind with which I feel the emotions, the intellect with which I think the thoughts. So this is me, this is the ego, and this is the world. And vasanas are my tendencies that make me act, you know, that makes a good tent, like a vasana can distinguish between an alcoholic and a saint. You know, whether I go to drink or whether I go to serve the world. So the good and bad, or could be a sports person. Or somebody has a sports vasana, loves to watch sports. So whatever good or bad tendencies I have, that vasanas are not always bad. They could be good tendencies also. So the tendencies, the equipment, the ego and the world are all prakriti, are all the world. And those five, the seat, the doer, the senses, the functions, and the deity are all part of prakriti. Prakriti means matter. That is all changing, that is all destructible, that was all created and will end one day. So these five, and this body, speech, mind, the 24, everything is part of prakriti. And what is beyond is the Purusha, which is called the consciousness, the life principle, the Lord, the Brahman, the Om, the Father in heaven, Allah, whatever you want to call it. But it is the consciousness, and that has not been addressed. Krishna so far is only talking about the lower. That's why in the Mundak Upanishad, which actually we'll be starting Mundak Upanishad on Wednesday from 8 to 9, which is a very beautiful text. We have a study group every Wednesday from 8 to 9. And you're welcome to join, and we'll be starting a new text, not this Wednesday, but the Wednesday after that. So the Mundak Upanishad talks about the higher, lower nature and higher nature, the higher bird and lower bird. So prakriti is my lower nature. That's what Krishna says in the Gita. But my higher nature is Uttam Purush, the consciousness. So that has not been addressed so far. So far we have only talked about vasanas and below. And this one will be addressing in the next verse. So this is what he has talked about. Any comments, any questions? Yes.
I guess I'm a little confused about why the Gita. So why does the Gita go into talking about that? How does it fit into philosophy?
Because like we said, you know, we are in this karma bhumi. We are in this land of karmas. And so we have to act. Even if you lie down in bed and do nothing, you're still breathing, you know, you're still eating, you know, even if you're getting food. So act, we have to act. And how do we act? With this equipment. So what he's doing is he's laying the basis for action. What is required for action? These equipment. And how with these actions, what do we do? We do actions with our body, speech and mind. So, and then the actions that are good or bad, which he has covered in a lot of detail in previous chapters, like in the chapter 3, he has talked about karma yoga, doing actions dedicated to the Lord. In chapter 4, he has talked about the yajna spirit, working, you know, with others. In chapter 5, renunciation, giving up even the doership. So, throughout the Gita, he's not only talking, that's why I said it's not only a book of philosophy or spirituality, it is also a book of action and tells us how to work in the world. So he's basically summarizing what he has already talked in chapters 3, 4 and 5. So that's why the 18th chapter is a summary. So he's not going into much detail because he assumes that we have, if we have been studying the Gita, we should have studied that in the previous chapter. And Arjuna has been listening to him. And so that is why so the equipment and then how to go beyond to that higher, he will tell us in the next two or three verses. So at this moment, he's telling us how to work in the world. What are the equipments? How do you use them? And then how you can improve your, you know, doership, the ego, reduce the doership, the senses, the functioning, how to use our equipment wisely. That is all being covered in this verse. And in previous chapters, he has covered. And then he will teach us how to go beyond to that higher self. So from Prakriti, how to go to Purusha. From matter, how to go to the spirit. So Prakriti is matter and Purusha is spirit. Thank you, that's a good question. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah, Hari Om.